Hi guys, welcome back to Love All Tennis Talk. I know everyone's probably shocked that I have an episode out right now because it's always taken me forever, but I'm really trying to be more consistent so I can bring everyone the current events. I can't bring everyone the latest if I'm only doing an episode every 2 months. And yes, it's just me today. My roommate isn't here, so I couldn't force her to be in an episode with me. And I'm at my apartment, so like I don't have my family. But we have a great set of stories today. So without further ado, we're starting with, of course, Bernard Tomic. So Bernard Tomic, like, I obviously know who he is and would recognize the name and like recognize him. He, I guess, was like the bad boy of tennis before Nick Kyrgios. I feel like I was too young or just didn't pay attention to tennis like that closely when he was in his heyday of like bad boyness. Well, apparently he's still there, but where I guess he was more notorious. So his girlfriend Vanessa Sierra, she was on Love Island, okay, a former reality TV star, and now she has an OnlyFans, like, which is I guess not shocking. And like everyone else, they were quarantined. She I guess has a YouTube channel and she's vlogging or whatever, and she just went on this rant about how the hotel room was like freezing and cold and the food was like horrible. And then the thing that I guess like really annoyed people or shocked people was that she literally said, "This is the worst part of quarantine." She like touches her hair and she's like, "I don't wash my own hair. I've never washed my own hair. It's just not something that I do. I normally have hairdressers that do it twice a week for me." So that's the situation we're dealing with. I can't wait to get out of quarantine just so I can get my hair done. So obviously this blew up, but everyone had something to say and was just like, what are you even talking about? On one hand, like she's like, I'm vlogging, this is my personal life. Good for her for saying what she feels. Not everyone has to put into perspective like exactly what everyone else is going through. Like, she's just talking about her. So that's what upset her. And so she just like said it. I don't think that she really needed to receive death threats about it, but she needs to know that that's not normal. How do you not wash your own hair? It's just weird, that fact. And my hair is like thick and like kind of on the drier side, so I can get away with washing my hair like every other night, every 2 nights. But how does she do twice a week? It's like, does it not get greasy? It's just, like I don't think that she, again, deserved death threats or anything. She definitely just shows that she's like a little out of touch and like a little weird. But he is like a whole nother story. He's like the worst, honestly. So like maybe him and his girlfriend actually do make like a great pair. Like he honestly seems kind of delusional. And not like a side story, she has, I guess, become his coach. He says his OnlyFans, Bernard Tomic says his OnlyFans girlfriend, Vanessa Sierra, is now his coach, which I'm assuming he just didn't have a coach before, or at least for a few years. Cause I don't know if he seems like the most coachable person. When I was researching, he obviously like has an attitude. His personality just seems like the worst, and just like all around, I don't know, not great. I'm just gonna go on a limb here and say I don't believe that she necessarily has the qualifications to be a professional tennis coach, but he said it's a secret, I'm not gonna give my tips away. Someone asked him like, what is she teaching you? And he said, together we've managed to win 8 matches, quite good, it's a new tactic for 2021. But I feel like it's not that uncommon for someone to like do really well. I feel like when they have a new girlfriend or boyfriend, when you are alone and you literally don't have anyone to answer to but yourself, and you obviously don't care, says he like doesn't even like tennis that much, he's probably just doing better because he has like a girlfriend. And like, what, do you want to be the boyfriend that's like a loser? No. I feel like it's scientifically proven that like when someone else is watching you, you just do better than like if you are alone by yourself. Like if he had no coach, he's probably not gonna like practice as hard on his own or push himself or even care if he like loses a match. But if you have someone watching, and especially if you have a new girlfriend, you're gonna wanna impress them. Like it actually reminds me of in high school when I went to an all-girls school, and whenever we would go to like away matches and the school was like co-ed and had boys and girls, the tennis courts would be there, and maybe there was like the boys soccer team next to it, or the football practice or something. Hello, we would put a pep in our step and we would like run a little faster and try not to lose because there were just like spectators watching, especially if it was guys. Like these were just random like boys. Imagine if I have a boyfriend there, I'd be like literally die to win. So that's honestly probably it. Like I feel like it's more of he doesn't want to be the loser boyfriend more than like she's actually teaching him skills and whatnot, like in coaching in that way. If he loses every match, it's like embarrassing for him. Plain and simple. So that's probably their secret. Oh, and also, so I almost forgot, when I was researching him, I came across that he was a contestant on the Australian version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And after 3 days, he left and withdrew because he was feeling uncomfortable and depressed. It's like, is that not the point of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Like, they put celebrities in uncomfortable situations. So, he definitely doesn't seem like the most competitive person. I wish him luck, I guess. And honestly, now I'm paying attention to how how he does, because it will be very interesting. Now for the second story. So this story is like a week old, but I obviously had to say something about it. Novak Djokovic clarifies quarantine demands misconstrued in open letter. So when everyone like touched down in Australia, I guess there was a lot of confusion and chaos regarding like the quarantine situation. So I think at first the strategy was everyone's gonna come quarantine for 2 weeks in like hotel rooms. And I guess some people had houses or like apartments. And everyone was gonna have 5 hours a day, literally just to go on the tennis courts. Like, I think they had to do all their fitness from day one. Like, they knew they were gonna have to do their fitness in the room because they were gonna have 5 hours a day with their teams to play tennis. Like, they had some system where like people wouldn't be in contact with just them, like court, whatever. So that was like the plan, plan A. And then people got, and then everyone got there, and I think it was three of the flights were compromised because someone, whether it be like a flight attendant, I think one was like a flight attendant, one was like a random person or random people, I guess when they touched down, like tested positive for COVID. But like, I have a question, because even when you fly places, like especially if you're flying into Australia, who's like has the, one of the strictest quarantines, don't you have to have present a negative test at the time of like boarding? So like, how does someone board in Canada and then in the span of the flight, like test positive? I mean, I don't know if that's the way that it is, but, or maybe you test, because I know, like, it's weird, like, the whole thing is, like, the symptoms can, can show later, so you don't even know, and, like, the test might be show negative, but it's building up in your system, so it'll be positive in, like, a day. I actually really don't know, so I shouldn't, like, actually speak on it, but that's just what I thought, but I just had that thought. I was like, how do you, from once to the, anyway, and also not for nothing, but I feel like there have been false positives. Like, I feel like that's a known thing. So I wonder if the people, like one of the people, it was a false positive, but like when they see positive, they have to just act on that. Who knows? But apparently that spun everything into a tailspin, and the players that were on those flights, they had to like take everyone, players and team members, I guess coaches, like agents, whatever, if they're coming. And they all had to be in a super strict quarantine, 14 days. Actually, I think it turned into like 15 for some people because they started on, I heard Tana Sandgren was like, they started on day zero, like instead of day one, where they thought that they were going to have 5 hours of tennis a day. They could not leave the hotel room like at all. Apparently, they couldn't even open the window, which I guess you can't, they're like the windows don't open in hotels normally. Anyway, so obviously, and we've heard this before that, like, I guess the top however many players have, like, this group me and they talk in it. Like, I feel like that it's, like, not news to know that, like, a bunch of the players have a group chat. So I think, like, everyone was kind of shocked that this was happening. Not shocked, but, like, it didn't seem like it was, like, expressed to them that that would be the plan B if something like that happened. So obviously everyone's going to be kind of upset and confused and just annoyed. So I guess there was a group chat. Everyone was kind of brainstorming ideas like, okay, how can we make this better? Like, we're stuck in the hotel room, like better food, actual fitness equipment to be like delivered. So Djokovic, being world number one, was trying to like spearhead, okay, I'm gonna write down all these suggestions, and like as being a top player, he's gonna present it to the executives at Tennis Australia to see like what could be done. And apparently this was leaked, this letter, and it had like suggestions like buying and like giving actual fitness equipment, like better gourmet food for the players, like trying to get them out in any way, like more negative testing to see if they could like be out sooner. And I guess the one suggestion that like made everyone go crazy was that he had like said, and maybe if we could get the teams, like the players and everything, like private homes with tennis courts. And like, that's what everyone thought was so outrageous. Everyone was kind of calling Djokovic like this brat, like, oh my God, him and his demands. I don't know how he became the villain of this once again. He literally does anything and it's like, oh my God, he's so ungrateful. He's so spoiled. He's such a brat. He's so out of touch. It's like, not for nothing. Do you guys remember last year when Australia was literally dealing with the most devastating wildfires and bushfires? And the tennis players donated, like, I think it was like $500,000, rallied together, raised so much money, raised so much awareness. They had like the ace every time they hit an ace, or like people donated their entire winnings to, like, all together to the Australian bushfires. So if you can't find them a mansion on Airbnb, like, that was the most outrageous thing to ask. And it was, and these were just suggestions. Everyone's calling it demands. And I also had a good idea. They could have just, like, assigned an intern or someone, or like hired people. Like, I would have done it for free if I was over there. Like, okay, call me an intern, whatever. Assign them to a tennis player. You take everyone's like restaurant orders. Everyone's like, say one person wanted like a resistance band, you know, to like work out in, but the other person didn't, like another player didn't. So, and this player had weights already and this player didn't. So just assign one person and taking care of like dietary restrictions of players and like gone to better restaurants or nicer places, whatever, got them all their food, and then you literally had like a concierge person or like a butler for every tennis player and their team. Because I literally felt like all I saw was them like hitting tennis balls into the mattresses or the walls, which, not for nothing, is not good for the springs of the mattress and probably not good for the walls, but that's besides the point. Yeah, someone should have put me in charge over there. Just, you know, my two cents. Like, oh, I'm sorry, Novak Djokovic was trying to speak up for the other players and like have everything better for everyone. God forbid. Then you have Nick Kyrgios, which brings me to the next story, calls him a tool for, I guess, trying to help. Like, okay, that makes sense. So the next story in the least shocking news of this year is, not going to lie, Nick Kyrgios didn't miss tennis during the COVID-19 affected season. Like, yeah, we know you hate tennis. And we know you hate everyone except for like your select few friends. And like he literally said, I don't miss too many people on the tour, to be honest. It's like, we know, like, you don't have to say to be honest. Like, you've said this many times before. Like, we know you're not lying. Trust me, we just know that he loves to like bash tennis at every chance that he gets. And it's just like weird, honestly. Like, I just don't get it. He has said that, you know, he like doesn't really like tennis, doesn't really care about it that much. And he would just, like, how he just wants to like go to his local cafe, get a coffee, get a nice coffee, like play basketball with his friends and play video games. It's like, yeah, you and everyone else in the world. Like, do you think everyone wants to get up and do their job? Like, no, we all have to work. And not for nothing, his work, he does get like a few months off. And I would rather have to wake up and do something that makes me millions, even if I don't love it, rather than like minimum wage and not loving it. So the other thing with Kyrgios is, so he obviously like calls Novak a tool or whatever, and, you know, has to put his two cents in about the whole like suggestion, quarantine suggestion information. And then literally on his Instagram the next day, it's like he shows that he visited a children's hospital and was like, his caption's like, always stay humble and grateful. It's like, which one are you? When he's not bashing someone, he's being like the nicest person on earth. And it's like, which personality is you? Like, I guess both. He just seems like one of those people that he like will ride or die, like loves his family, loves his like select few friends, and then everyone else like he hates or like doesn't care about at all. So, and he always is just, and like charity he like loves. But it's like he has his Nick Kyrgios Foundation, which was made possible by like his success in tennis. So you would think that he just like, I don't know, would be appreciative and grateful like in any way like about the sport of tennis. And also, I think I've mentioned this before, like, what do his parents think about like his attitudes? So he's an adult, obviously, and in like a unique position where he has a big platform in the world, so everyone hears his words and like pays attention to it. Like, obviously I'm over here talking about him, so people pay attention to him. But it's like, are his parents ever like, maybe try to make it seem like we, you know, raised you with manners or something? Because, okay, he's an adult, he can do whatever he wants. Like, his parents are probably not telling him what to say, letting him, you know, whatever. But I would be like, if I was his mom, I would be like, yeah, love that for us, because it makes us look like we raised you to be legit rude. But, you know, whatever, he's never gonna change. I feel like people were just waiting for him to grow up, but he's, I think he's 25 now, and actually the male brain, they do say, is not fully developed until age 25. So maybe after this we'll see some changes, but I'm not holding my breath. I mean, he is fun to talk about, and I, you know, I can't argue with that. Okay, and the next story, I feel like this is also just like always happening, and it's like so devastating, but Andy Murray devastated as he shelves Australian Open plans. This man cannot catch a break. It's been 4 years since he's like been on tour, a consistent like healthy player. He finally is like in physical shape. I think his hips are like better, his hip is better, and like the one thing that is stopping him is he gets corona. He had 10 months to get corona, and he gets it literally as he's about to do, as I guess he's doing the preliminary testing for the Australian Open. He's literally like, are you there, God? It's me, Andy. What the hell is going on? He's literally probably laughing so he doesn't cry, because it's like, seriously, anything that can go wrong has gone wrong with him. I guess he's just, I mean, I think he said that he's gonna play Italy next. So who knows? But like, also back to the false positive, false negative. Are we sure that he actually had it, or it was just a... That's called life's not fair. And I just hope that he gets a reprieve anyway. Hope he gets better, obviously. On to happier news. Maria Sharapova got a $400,000 engagement ring. I feel like that's nothing for her. Like, that's literally a drop in the ocean because she's obviously so rich. So at the end of last year, she announced that she was engaged to, what's his name? Alexander... I don't know how to say this. G-I-L-K-Gilkes? Gilks? I feel like he's Greek with the E-S, possibly. But he, or maybe like his ethnicity is Greek, maybe. So he is this super successful British businessman who, it says that he's friends with two of the princesses, Beatrice and Eugenie. I don't know why they say it differently over there, but one of them. Whatever her name is. So, like, good for her. Like, that makes sense. I know that she's dated tennis players before, but because she was, like, so good and, like, one of the best, I feel like sometimes if you're, like, so successful in something that you do in, like, a space, then I feel like your partner, it's better off that you have them, like, in a totally different world. Him in business or whatever he does. Apparently he's like an art dealer, or it's probably one of the things he does, because like they need to be successful in their own right. And like, I feel like for female athletes especially, it's like businessmen, like successful international businessmen is the way to go, because they have their own thing and you have your own thing. It's not like, I know she dated Grigor Dimitrov and it was probably great, like they understand each other's world, like playing tennis and everything, but she was definitely better as a women's player than he was a men's player. She was like the highest paid female athlete for like 10 years, I think. So good for her. You know, I was never her biggest fan, but there's nothing but well wishes from LaWall to you, Maria. Have a great marriage and life. And finally, on to some better news and optimistic. Sophia Kenin, the atmosphere is going to be so loud at the Australian Open and she can't wait. So obviously there's going to be fans at this slam, and I feel like quarantine sucked for like everyone, like not the 2 week quarantine that the tennis, well obviously that did suck too, but like just these past 10 months or whatever. So since Australia, I mean, since they are so strict, they have it like under control, so they're allowed to have this, so there's going to be fans, and I just feel like it is going to be such an energy booster. Like, it's going to be like a shot of adrenaline, like in life, for tennis players, because I feel like they need this. It's been so weird the past like year. Everything's been off course. US Open was played with no fans whatsoever. Wimbledon was canceled. It was just like weird, obviously. And so being as like normal as possible with fans, with like the noise and the screaming, like I actually think it's going to be really good for everyone. And even if they can't, they may not have fans at Wimbledon. Like, I don't even know what it's going to be like at the US Open. Hopefully they can have some fans. But I feel like everyone is going to like it. It's really going to boost morale all on tour. And like, they deserve it after having this crazy quarantine. And the fans and stuff. Like, it'll be interesting to see, to like watch it on TV and see, you know, hear the crowds cheering and stuff. And you know what? I feel like I would would like Sophia if she won it again. Like, I feel like I want her to take it all. Needless to say, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more drama and things to talk about. So hopefully you will tune back in and I'll be here to bring you the latest and greatest. Thank you, everyone. It was lovely talking tennis with you, and I hope to see you back next time. Make sure to follow Love All Tennis Talk on Instagram and also on TikTok, even though I basically post everything on TikTok onto my Instagram. Oh, I would love you to follow both. So yes, bye everyone. Have a great day.